Father, we just come together this morning, Lord, to receive from you, to hear from you, Lord, and to open our hearts, Lord, to your word. Just quicken us, Lord, enable us to hear, enable us to put it to work in our lives, Lord, that we may benefit from it and may be fruitful in our lives. We just praise and thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We have been dealing with a topic that I generally don't preach about. You know, it's about the end times. I mean, generally, I don't very often preach about this. But I really felt that as a result of the message that I had for the convention in Toronto, I should bring some of it here. And I believe that it's a timely message. It's a timely message because it deals with issues that we need to understand. And they're affecting our life. They're affecting the way the world around us. And we have to understand that the Word of God predicted things pretty clearly, although not giving us all the information that sometimes we like to have. So I'm going to continue on this topic because I believe that what is happening is that the direction I'm getting is that I had to move from there to some of the applications of this information in our lives. See, just last week, it's interesting how coincidences are really not coincidences. You know, I just finished presenting to our ministerial fellowship the topic in Toronto, and the following week, it comes up a report from the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada saying the same, you know, confirming some of the things I was saying and reinforcing some of the conclusion, because I wasn't giving all the statistics. I was giving just a 20 minutes to half an hour message. You can't cover everything. Okay, I was just giving a brush picture of what's taking place and what God was saying to us as ministers. And then, you know, I start sharing it with you. And last week I was cleaning up my office. And in cleaning up my office, I had some time piles of articles and things that I collect. And one of the old articles I found out was very interesting. It was written in 2005. It was done in the States instead of being done in Canada. And was saying the same thing that were said in this recent article about the falling away, if you want, of the church. You know, they were sending, it was saying the same thing. It was statistically done, collected by Barnes and others, the well-known people collecting information, and were giving recommendations for the things that should be done to turn around the thing. Well, things didn't turn around. They're worse today than they were before. And if you look at the recommendations that are given today, are exactly the same recommendation they were given in 2005. My conclusion, and I came in before because that was, you know, the recommendation I was given were different, is that didn't work in 2005. Why do you think it's going to work in 2014? So there is something that has to change in the belief system of the church. And we have to understand the times, and we have to understand what God is doing. Because, see, still, God is in control. God knows what's happening. He predicted things from the beginning, everything moves according to the plan. Well, this is interesting, because when we start understanding that, then we start be wanting to cooperate with what he's doing. You know, I read from the prophecy in the book of Joel, in chapter 2, that is repeated again in the book of Acts, chapter 2, when Peter, at the falling of the Holy Spirit and Pentecost. And that prophecy is was relevant then, but it's relevant today. Because some of the direction that was in that prophecy is valid today just as much as 2,000 years ago. See, the thing is with prophetic statement, do not depend so much on time the way we are dependent on time. In one sweeping phrase, you can go through thousands of years, because to God, there is no time. And so, some of the things that were said there were pointing out at the importance of the Holy Spirit in the end time. But there are two sides of the prophecies that are given in the Bible. One, it talks about, the falling away that is going to be evident. And the other one, in the power of God to be going to be manifested more than ever did before. The two things are in parallel. It's not that one happened before the other. They happen at the same time. You see, it's this, what is light is lighter, and what is dark is darker. You know, if you see, for example, the change in our society in the last 10 years, you can see the difference in the openness to Christianity. You know, prayer cannot be done in church anymore. I mean, not yet. That will happen. Prayer cannot be done in schools anymore. Symbol Christianity are removed from public places. Crosses are removed because they are not accepted. I mean, we are becoming an anti-Christian society. Every other religion is accepted. And they can do whatever they want to do. But if you say something that is Christian, like, for example, Merry Christmas, they look at you like you are not really with the times. You have to say, well, you know, happy, you know, merry season, you know, good season, or whatever it is that it is. See, that shows this is just a reflection of something much deeper that is developing. And this is not only in society, in the people that are not really calling themselves Christians. It's in society in general, but it's also happening in the church. Because the church is influenced by the environment that it's in. And if we don't consciously do something about for ourselves, we are influenced ourselves. Okay, because this is a mentality that is developed, you know, while you are going to be, you know, politically correct. You are not going to say anything that turns anybody off. Well, that's not the church that Jesus said he was going to make. See, the church that Jesus said, you know, I'll make my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. It doesn't say that it's going to be defensive. It's saying that the church is going to be able to change and penetrate the forces of darkness. Well, this is not what is actually happening today, because we are looking at the wrong thing. We are looking at the structured, organized church, which is really not the one that is going to make the difference, is going to manifest the power of God. I just want to read again to you. Let me see if I have it here, so I don't need to go and look for it. Now I'm going to open the Bible. Takes a bit of time to open up. but the idea is simple, okay? I remember one of the things that happened in 1973 when I was first born again. At that time, I came to the Lord, not because I was exposed to some preachers or because I was I went to church. I was an atheist and I was a scientist. And all things, the last things I was ever thinking, that I was going to be a minister. But the interesting thing that took place, that God himself gave me an experience that I could not ignore. And all my, I was working in quantum mechanics, theoretical physics, and I had all my theory were based on probabilities, because that's much of what was the philosophical background on those of that discipline. And I realized that my theories and probabilities did not make any sense at all. And that there was a God. And not only there was a God, but they cared enough about each one of us that he could keep things the way they were, because from a probability point of view, the world should collapse right now. Now, it's interesting that from that day to today, even in the scientific field, many of the people that are working in the field I was working in, which is quantum mechanics, are changing their ideas about reality. And they may not have met the Lord, and they may not be Christians, but they start understanding there is something beyond the physical, holding things together. Many of them are becoming spiritual. Well, it's a step ahead to where they were before. Maybe that if they are open, they are going to find out the truth about Jesus. Okay. The fact is that when I was looking for the truth, and the more I studied, the more I learned things, and the less I was satisfied with what I was knowing, the more I realized that I need to know more, and I didn't have any answers. Until I met Jesus that afternoon, winter afternoon, 2 weeks before Christmas, and in my bedroom, with nobody telling me anything, showing me that God loved me, and that God loved everybody else. And in that day, I had the answers I needed. I had peace that I'd never had before. And I had the understanding that I found out what the answers that I need to keep going, and instead of fooling myself. Now, one of the things that I did at that time, since I didn't, you know, I started reading everything I got my hands on, you know, that had to do with, you know, I bought myself a Bible, I started reading things. One of the things, and I didn't understand, you know, for a while, for about a year, you know, I even went to church, but I really didn't understand very much. And I remember I bought a book, and was just came up there. That's the time when it was published. It was called The Great Planet Earth. I don't know if some of you have read that book. I don't necessarily agree with all the ideas in that book. The point is, at the point I was at, the book ministered to me. And was talking about the end time. That was the great planet, the late planet Earth. Okay? And one of the things that I found interesting, it was talking about the time we were in, you know, but was also talking about these strange people that call themselves Christian, but they speak in tongues. And was putting them down. And I really got interested. I said, oh, that's interesting to see. And so I started to seek and try to get understanding on that. Well, didn't take too long that, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit and start speaking in tongues myself. See, and God did that not because I went, any of these things, because I went someplace that they tried to preach me and put indoctrinate me as any idea, but God himself ministered to me the truth and helped me to understand certain things and prepare me for the time we are in. So, to make a long story short, my life changed that day, and soon after, I quit my job at the National Research Council, and I did other things and started to, as the Lord was preparing me for the ministry. What am I trying to say to you? Well, God deals with each one of us individually. He tries to show us the truth because he cares about us. He wants to set us free from all the bondages that otherwise we have because of the ideas that are wrong, that we have assimilated from the world. And really, the Bible gives us the most of the information we need to be able to become free. The other part, you see, but the Bible itself is not enough. If it would be enough, you see, one of the recommendations of these surveys and studies that I was mentioning before was, well, people should go to church and read the Bible. Well, that's what I was recommended before, and that's what's recommended again. Well, I'm sorry, by itself is not enough. Because it didn't work before. You see, there has to be more than just reading something. God has to speak to you personally. As to God deals with each individual personally, and that one makes the difference. When God deals with you, you know that he is real. He's not just philosophy. He's not just theory. He's not just another religion. See, Paul said very clearly in 2 Corinthians, your faith should be based on the power of God, not on the wisdom of man. You know, how can your faith be based on the power of God? Is when you actually experience that power. See, that's what happened to me that day when all my theories and all my philosophies were crumbling down because just in 1 second, God showed to me one truth that was bigger than all the truth I had up to that time. He loved me. And I felt it, and I knew it, and nobody can convince me of any other thing. And I wasn't perfect, and I'm not perfect now. And if you try to be loved by God because you are perfect, you already missed it. See, the only thing that makes the difference is when we realize that he loves us in our imperfections, in our shortcomings. And that Jesus did everything so that he could do that and we can come to the Father in freedom. Because of what he has done and taken care of our shortcomings. See, that's what gives us the power to overcome. That's what gives us the power and the ability to deal with the situations around us so that we don't go like the world goes. Away. Are you following me? You know, I'm a minister, but I probably am the least religious person you can get. Because I don't believe in religion. I believe religion keeps people bound because of rules and regulations that people put on you so that they can control you. That's not the way God works. The way God works is that touches your heart. It changes your heart. So that being a believer, being a Christian, is not a hard thing to do. It's just a question of being yourself. Because your heart is changed. Because you do exactly what you want to do, which is really to please the Father. Because you have that relationship with Him that has been established and has changed everything, your values. You know, and maybe some of your thinking has to change, and had to change for me too. Over, you know, I'm not the same person that I was in 1972, 2 weeks before Christmas, when I was touched by God. I mean, fortunately, it wasn't the only time when He touched me. I mean, every day we can connect. And this is what makes the difference today. This is why the church is weak. The formal church is weak. The formal church is weak because they are just following rituals. Rituals have no power in themselves. It's what is going on inside our heart that makes the difference. So this topic that I've been dealing with, I really sense that God is directing me to continue, but to go to the place in which we can see the importance of actually connecting with the Holy Spirit and receiving from the Holy Spirit the gifts that He gives us, the supernatural gifts that He gives to His children. They should be manifested in our life. You know, when you start seeing that, it's not a question of reasoning and philosophies and what somebody says. It's what you know yourself. He is your strength. He is your healer. He is the one that takes care of you. He is the one that guides you day by day. Because you are connected with Him. Because you receive His direction. You hear His voice. Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice." If we don't, that means we are not sheep. We are goats. But you know, God is a miracle working guy. You know, He can turn goats into sheep. He did it with me. He can do it with anybody else. Okay, the idea is simple, that we have to be open and wanting it. Because this is what the only thing that makes the difference. Our desire to be open to the Father. See, we can talk to God as our Father. Jesus taught us to do that because He did that. And because of what He has done, we can do the same. On the same basis, we can walk the way He walked. Today, because nothing is changed. You know, some groups and denominations say, you know, that the time of miracles finished with the apostles. And there is nothing more false than that theory. Nothing is changed in 2,000 years, as nothing is going to change in as long as we are going to stick around here. Because God does not change. We can make, you know, theories or philosophies about theological ideas about, different dispensation in which God operates differently. But really, what happens, the only difference that we have between the past, the present, and the future is our understanding of God. When we see, the only thing we can receive from God is what we understand about Him. The Bible says that if we think He's hard, He's going to be hard. Why? Because He's hard? No, it's because we deal with Him as He's hard, and that's exactly what we are getting. If we believe that He's a loving God, He's going to be loving with us because we can receive His love. You see, according, as Jesus said, according to your faith is done unto you. Your faith is not something that you can make up one day. You see, your faith is related to your belief system. Your belief system comes as a result of a lot of factors. Your experiences from since when you were born, actually even before, when you were in your mother's womb. Your experiences accumulated through time create your beliefs because you start reacting and believing certain things because of the experiences you have. So you hear some things, you interpret it in a certain way, and you get certain results. But God's desire is to connect with us, to minister to us, to help us, to heal us, to empower us, and to give us a good life. That's not the way the world is, and the world is in a state of decay. But we can put ourselves in the place in which God can actually deal with us, and we can start to see the manifestation of these things in our life. Now, there is a part we play. You see, God doesn't do things in His own. There is always a part we play in the things that God does. You know, when He has to set Israel free from Egypt, He had to send, you know, Moses had to go into the picture to bring them out. When He had to set us free, Jesus had to come in the world so that He can take our sins and we can be forgiven. But for you to experience that, you had to accept what He has done. You see, what He has done is valid, it was good for everybody, but doesn't manifest in everybody, because they have a part they play. And the part they play is to, first of all, like understand or hear that. If you don't know that you have $1 million in the bank, you can be begging on the corner of the street and having nothing. But if you know, the only thing you have to do is to go to the bank and pull out some money. If you don't know that you can be free from all the things, all the bondage, all the curses of the law that came up as a result of the beginning, you're going to be subjected to that. But if you know that what Jesus has done set you free from that, because that's what the Bible says, then you can go to the spiritual bank and pull out everything that you need to live a life the way God planned for you to have. You know, Psalm 23, everybody, just about everybody knows, Christians or not, you know, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It doesn't say, maybe. He doesn't say, you know, well, if he feels like it. He says that I shall not want. That means, you know, that I can be assured that all my needs are going to be met. Now, it's depending on our faith. Can we say that, believing it? Can we say that? Well, it takes some. You know, if you try to do it in your own mind, forget it. You cannot do it. Why? Because it's not a mind thing. See, Christianity has nothing to do with philosophy. Christianity has to do with the spirit. Christianity has to do with your heart. But, you know, the passage between your heart and your head, which is your thinking, is probably the longest that you can take. Because it's very difficult to transfer things from your thinking down to your heart unless there are experiences associated with it. So what I'm saying to you today is that God has a plan. He has prepared everything, and He has announced all these things that are happening today that point us to the time we are in. You know, Jesus said to the people of His time, you know, that you can say, you know, that tomorrow is going to be good weather, tomorrow or bad weather, you cannot see the signs of the time. See, the signs of the times are here. There are many, many evidences and prophecies that have been fulfilled, and they point out to the fact that Jesus is coming back. Now, you can take that or leave it. You know, God leaves us completely free on our choices. The thing is, when we choose something, there are consequences. See, the consequences are what's going to happen when you have to deal with the environment in which you are in. That's what makes the difference. This is why we had to be ready and prepared. You know, He said that people will continue to live the way they have lived and really not realize what's happening, but suddenly the Lord will going to come back. And if you are ready or not, it depends where you're going to set yourself, where you're going to be, the way you're going to deal with it. You know, in the thing I wanted to stress today, and I don't want to take too much time, but I want to just read something here. One of the things that, you know, for just take one scripture, a couple of scripture I want to read to you. First of all, you know, you talk about end time and people get scared. Get scared because, you know, the focus all the time is on the bad things that are going to be taking place. And they're going to be bad things. There are already. If we realize it or not, there are bad things that are taking place, but there are going to be much worse things. So people focus on those things. They want to. They get scared. So don't tell me about it. You know, it's like the ostrich that put the head under the sand. Say, don't tell me about this a lion here. You know, if I don't see it, I don't have any problem. Actually, you know, this is a tale about the ostrich putting the head under the sand, because it's not the reason why they put the head under the sand is because they put eggs under the sand and they're going to move the eggs. So, but you know, people interpret it the wrong way, and now everybody believes it, and it's fine to say it, but it's not the truth. Okay, but now, not wanting to look at the truth doesn't help anybody. So we had to look at the truth and make the proper decision, because that's what's going to help us. And if we make the wrong decision, you're going to pay the consequences. Now, you know, the fact that God has done already, if you believe, if you are open to Him, you are in a different place. You should not be afraid anymore. You should be happy of the time we are in. You know, there are many scriptures pointing out to that truth. For example, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son, His love. So you see, we are not under the bondage or the limitations or the power of darkness anymore. That means if you are not under that power, cannot do anything to us. Now, how is that possible? Well, I can't tell you the whole story today. I'm just starting on this topic. But I'm going to read you another scripture that is often misunderstood and misinterpreted and bring lots of people into confusion, which is given in Romans chapter 5. I'm going to go there and just excuse me a moment. In Romans chapter 5 talks about verse 20. If you have a Bible, you can go there. I start halfway through the verse there. So, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigns in death, so also grace reigns through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, you know, the idea that when sin abounds or reigns, death abounds. But where death abounds, grace abounds much more. See, grace is often considered or translated or whatever interpreted as the fact that God give us things that we don't deserve. And really, I think that's the wrong way of looking at grace in the first place. Grace in Greek is charis. Charis means power. Means empowerment, endowment. We don't deserve it, all right. But the thing is, the power of God is going to be manifested even more when sins abound. Not in the sinner, in the one with God. See, he's showing the separation that is taking place in these last days between those that follow God and the world. When sin is going to increase in the world, so is going to be the power of God. This matches with all the prophecies that talks about the end time, seeing the manifestation of the Holy Spirit coming on earth and touching all flesh. Touching all flesh doesn't mean everybody is going to get it. It says it's going to be not separation between different races, cultures, and things. It's going to be all over. We are all the same before God. There is no color, no race, no background, no culture. All these things are flesh. It's the spirit that God deals with. It's our heart that makes the difference. So what I'm saying to you is that what we can expect in this last day is that God's power is going to be so much stronger than it has ever been, because sin is stronger than was. So in a way, that's exciting. It's an exciting time we are in. It's the time in which we are going to see more and more things happening that we haven't been able to see before. Now, one of the things I wanted to close with is here in Matthew chapter 24. See, there have been different people saying talking about when Jesus was going to come. But the Bible says very clearly that nobody knows about when it's going to happen. But about the day or the hour, no one knows. Not even the angel in heaven. So when people are going to tell you, well, it's going to come, forget it. You know right away that they're in deception. Nor even the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the day of Noah, so it will be on the coming of the Son of Man. For in the day before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day of Noah entered into the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. And this is going to be the same when Jesus comes. See, nobody's going to know. But we are going to know the season. It's the season that is important. Why? Because the only thing we have to do is to be ready. It's our readiness that makes the difference. You know, Jesus gave us a parable. And it's the parable of the 10 virgins. And he talks about this time. I'm going to read it to you. And at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them wise. The foolish one took the lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise one, however, took the oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may be not enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell it and buy the oil for yourself." But while they were there on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived, and the virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later on, the other came, and "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day and the hour." Now, the message is pretty clear here. We had to get ready before, not after. We cannot postpone the thing. But there is another message there. It talks about the oil. The oil is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. The lamp generally says us, but actually I believe there is more than that. See, the lamp, the word says that your word is a lamp unto my feet. If you have the lamp, like much of the church, the word of God, but you don't have the oil in the lamp, it's no good. There is no power. So you need the word, and you need the Holy Spirit to anoint the word so that you can use the word to make impact and give the power in your life. Are you following me? So we need, you see, the most important experience that we had, we can have today, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It happened to me a year after, just about, then I was born again. You know, again, I was sharing with you about reading that book that was talking negatively about being filled with the Holy Spirit and got me interested. And within not long, I was reading about it. I was opening to the Word of God, and the Word of God spilled myself and my wife in just the same day without anybody even praying for us. The experience was very different because we were different personalities. But that doesn't matter. You see, God works differently according to your personality. He never wants to change your personality because your personality is what he has given you. This is the way is reflect the plan that he has for you. So don't try to be like somebody else. Be yourself. But go and open your heart for God to touch you there so that he can manifest his power and his, give you the truth and the direction that you need in your life. You will be ready. If he comes tomorrow, you will be ready if you are open. And it's his desire to do that for you. It's his desire and his plan for each one of us to receive from you. He's not going to give you religion. He's going to give you the knowledge that you have the power inside you to deal with whatever situation you're going to be facing in your life. You know, I've been walking with God for more than, well, for, you know, 72, so how many years? 42 years. You know, and talking about marriage, they should be get better with time. Well, I'll tell you, walking with God gets better with time. There are things I can understand and do today that I could not do or understand years ago. Why? Because he opens our eyes. He ministers to us. He fills us up day by day. He gives us strength. He heals us when we are sick. He gives us the understanding that we need to deal with the situation in our life. You know, and when you start experiencing that, you don't care anymore what anybody says. You don't care anymore what religion says. You just know the truth. And as you know the truth sets you free. And with that, I'm going to close today, and we're going to have a refreshment on the back. But I hope that what I shared with you ministered to you today. Because I know that has ministered to me for 42 years. And it's going to keep going better all the time. So let's pray together. Father, thank you. I acknowledge what Jesus has done for me. And I receive, Lord, forgiveness from my sins. I am a child of God. Because of what you have done. I am your brother. And I receive all the inheritance that you have procured for me. I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.